वाया ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, Text 24. Na yasya sakyam purusha avaiti sakyu saka vasan samvasta pure Asmin guna yata gunina vyakta drishte tasmai maha ishaya namaskaromi. Nayasya sakyam purusho vaiti sakyu. Sakavasan sambasatha puresmin. Guno yatha gunino vyakta drishtes. Tasmai maheshaya namaskaromi. Na yasya sakyam purusho vaiti sakyu. Sakafasan sambasatha puresmunsmin. Guno yatha gunino vyakta drishtes. Tasmai maheshaya namaskaromi. Nayasya sakyam purusho vaiti sakyu. Sakhavasan sambasatha puresmin. Guno yatha gunino vyakta drishtes. Tasmai maheshaya namaskaromi. Please chant. Ladies, please. Na? Not. Yasya? Whose? Sakyam? That word looks like it's spelled wrong. Archite, you want to help me out on that?
Fraternity.
What is that?
Fraternity.
Fraternity. Because my copy just says T-R. Okay. Fraternity?
Fraternity.
Oh, fraternity. Okay. Fraternity.
Purusha?
The living entity. Avaiti?
Knows.
Sakyu? Of the supreme friend. Sakha? The friend. Vasan? Living. Samvasata?
Of the one living.
With. I'm sorry. We'll do that again. Of the one living with. Pure?
In the body.
Asmin? This. Guna? The object of sense perception. Yata? Just like. Gunana? Of its respective sense organ. Vyakta drishte, who oversees the material manifestation. Tasmai, unto him. Maha Ishya, unto the Supreme Controller. Namaskaromi, I offer my obeisances. Sorry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As the sense objects, form, taste, touch, smell, and sound, cannot understand how the senses perceive them, so the conditioned soul, although residing in his body along with the super soul, cannot understand how the supreme spiritual person, the master of the material creation, directs his senses. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the supreme person, who is the supreme controller. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Jai. The individual soul and the supreme soul live together within the body. This is confirmed in the Upanishads by the analogy that two friendly birds live in one tree, one bird eating the fruit of the tree, and the other simply witnessing and directing. Although the individual living being, who is compared to the bird that is eating, is sitting with his friend, the supreme soul, the individual living being cannot see him. Actually, the supersoul is directing the workings of his senses in the enjoyment of sense objects. But as these sense objects cannot see the senses, the conditioned soul cannot see the directing soul, the supersoul. The conditioned soul has desires, and the supreme soul fulfills them. But the conditioned soul is unable to see the supreme soul. Thus, Prajapati Daksha offers his obeisances to the supreme soul, the super soul, even though unable to see him. Another reason he's offering all of these prayers, which come one after another, is that he's trying to gain the potency to be able to create a tremendous amount of population. So he's asking the Supreme Lord to give him not only guidance, but to give him the potency to be able to fulfill this goal. Another example given is that although ordinary citizens work under the direction of the government, they cannot understand how they are being governed or what the government is. In this regard, Madhvacharya quotes the following verse from the Skanda Purana. Yatha ragya priyatvam tu britya vedena chapmana tatha jivo nayat sakyam veti tasmai namo stute, which means, as the various servants
in the different departments of big establishments cannot see the supreme managing director under whom they are working, the conditioned souls cannot see the supreme friend sitting within their bodies. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto the supreme who is invisible to our material eyes. Om Agina Timirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmalitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So this verse is very significant in that it lets us know that we're never alone. We're always with someone, a supreme someone, the greatest someone. And that someone here is named the super soul, or the antaryami. There are different names for the super soul, but suffice it to say that the super soul lives in the heart area, right beside the living individual soul. And the super soul is always accompanying the individual soul. And he does that for a very good reason. We can start from the very beginning. Originally, we were all Krishna conscious living entities living in the eternal or spiritual world. At some point, and we were experiencing transcendental peace, transcendental bliss, and transcendental strength. And we were doing that as a result of engaging in our eternal occupation, which is to serve the Supreme Lord with love and devotion. Somewhere along the line, we began to wonder what type of experience the Lord is having as a master, as a dominator, as a proprietor, as an enjoyer. What does it feel like to be on the other side? So each living entity has independence, although constitutionally, his independence should be used solely and only for the loving service of the Supreme Lord, because in that way he will always be inwardly happy. But if he chooses to act independently of the Supreme Lord and desire to, instead of being a servant of the Lord, want to become served as a Lord. In other words, if he wants to give up his service activity or service mentality and instead want to feel and experience and sense what it's like to be served, to be glorified, to be honored, to be looked up to, he's no longer qualified to live in that world. But Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, has created another world, this world, called the material world or the material universe. Actually, there are innumerable universes, material universes, and they all are for the purpose of enabling the living entities who do not want to anymore serve Krishna to be, or at least to attempt to be served as a Krishna, as a Lord, as a high person. So people come into this world just for that particular purpose. People want to become masters in different departments. Some people want to become top-notch politicians, some top basketball stars or football stars or leading actors or singers or business magnates. And so everyone gets an opportunity to strive for that particular position. And in so doing, he or she may eventually reach that position, along with other people who are striving to reach that position. Unfortunately, in various corporations or in various governments, only one person can be, as we say, top dog, or the chief person. And in so doing, one has to compete. One has to literally fight to get to that position. And even after he has that position, he then has to maintain the position. And maintaining the position sometimes takes more fight than even getting into the position. So it is always a struggle, and it is always a fight, and it is always a bashing of heads, trying to reach the position. Then a point is reached where a person who may be in a high position somewhere, so many famous actors, so many famous actresses, so many famous politicians, I can name their names, and because most of you are about at least 20 years younger than myself, would not even know these names because they've disappeared from the limelight. But while they're in the limelight, they're thinking in some way or another that they're going to remain in that limelight forever. That's the nature of material consciousness. I'm great today, I'll be great tomorrow, I'll be great the next day, and I'll be great, 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 and then slowly but surely old age begins to take its toll, and surely what happens is that new people begin to replace the old people, and before you know it, you're not even known, somebody said. For example, if I say the name Randolph Scott, does anybody know that actor? Unless you're watching the old westerns on TV. So, Alan Ladd, or Veronica Lake. These were all big time stars in my young, when I was 13 and 14 years old. And if you ever even mentioned the name, people would immediately know who you're talking about. So that's the nature of name and fame and glory. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow, and once it's gone, it's gone. And many of these people who achieve these positions, what happens is that it becomes very, very sad because all they do is talk about their old movies or their old basketball games or their own, look at their trophies, look at their Academy Awards, polish them up in the morning to make sure that they still have the glitter and glow, even though their names may not have the glitter and glow anymore. But the trophy, the Academy, the Emmy, the Grammy, all of these, keep them polished up to remind yourself that you really are a great person, even though nobody knows it anymore. So this is the reason we come into this particular world, to gain the pleasure of the five senses, pleasure of the mind, pleasure of the intelligence, and this is all being held by the false ego. The ego is that principle which tells us, yes, I am this particular, I am my body. So if with this body I'm achieving some great fame or name or glory, then I think I'm achieving name, fame, and glory. And as a result of that, then I'm very proud. I feel very above others because, after all, I'm the only one in that illustrious, in that exalted position. No one else has that position, at least at this point in time. And so this pride that one has makes one feel that he's greater, he's bigger, he's better, grander than other people. And then, as I said, as he begins to fade away, what happens? If you've been proud of this position and you're no longer in this position, then you begin to feel dejected. You feel depressed. You feel crushed. You feel unimportant. You feel worthless. What a horrible situation to come in, to be born, to achieve something, and now you feel worthless. One of our previous presidents, Ronald Reagan, his tragedy, it was that he was known all over the world. He was a very famous actor. And then he became a famous politician, governor of California for 8 years, and then president of the United States for another 8 years, and then left the White House, and then 10, 15 years later, he couldn't even remember his own name. It's tragic. He had Alzheimer's disease. And consequently, he lost his short-term memory. He forgot that he was president. He forgot all his glory. He forgot all he felt is that he was a helpless invalid. He needed people to remind him who he was, needed people to help him in eating and in taking care of so many different needs. So what is the value, what is the point of achieving something which gives us a temporary happiness and then it's gone forever. And then who knows if we get this Alzheimer's disease, we don't even remember that we were great, although we strove to be great. So it's meaningless. And Srila Prabhupada has so often pounded this point into our heads that these temporary pleasures, temporary happiness is really meaningless. So now, when we came from this spiritual world, the Lord, being compassionate and being merciful and loving, came with us. Why did he come with us? Because he knew we would suffer. And in knowing that we would suffer, he would stay with us and give us guidance and direction and even protection at certain points of time. Generally, we go off on our own. We forget the Lord. We ignore the Lord. We think we are a Lord. And then we get smashed. We get pounded. We get crushed. Strangled, dangled, entangled. So many things like this. And then finally, finding no one who can help us to find some degree of peace, some degree of happiness, some degree of strength, some degree of confidence. We feel so crushed, we finally are forced to look up or to look in. And this is a great day because it's the beginning of our rebirth. It's the beginning of coming back to where we once were. As I said from the outset of this talk, originally we were all Krishna conscious living entities. What happened is we became materialistically conscious entities. And as a result of that, suffering is the natural result. You can't avoid it. So, the super soul comes, sits right beside the soul. So when the soul is yearning for some guidance, some light, some direction, how do I get out of this? Who can I talk to? It's very fascinating, interesting. For example, such people, and I know so many persons, including myself, we would be distributing books. And we would start out saying, well, this book will really give you inner happiness and inner strength, and it will give you the love that you're looking for beyond your intellect, beyond your mind, which is of a transcendental nature. If you're grieving, if you're mourning, if you're suffering, this book will explain why you are, and it will show you how to overcome it, how to transcend it, how to go beyond it, and how to be happy always in spite of adversity, difficulties, trials, and tribulations. So the person says, really? He can do that? And you give him a book. He reads the book. And then a few months later, you get a letter. BBT gets a letter said, I cannot thank the day that I met this person on book, well, who was distributing these books at the airport or at the university. And I read it and it answered my question. I knew exactly what I had to do. And I've been doing it. I've been chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. I've been reading these wonderful purports of Srila Prabhupada. I know why I'm suffering. I know that I want to be a Lord rather than cooperating with God and bringing God in as a participator in my life. Instead, I've been trying to forget Him, ignore Him, disregard Him, neglect Him. I don't want anything to do. But now, I've reclaimed my position, my birthright as a son or child or daughter of God. And He's accepted me. And I feel so happy and strong and properly directed. So therefore, these persons who are distributing literature or distributing the holy name, some of them that go out, Ganesh takes a crew out at least 3 or 4 times a week, and people are just they're listening and they're smiling and they're enjoying. Some of them are getting books and so forth, and they don't even know that their life has already been transformed and changed. Why? Because anyone, as we heard in the story of Jamil, anyone who hears the holy name of the Lord even once begins to become transformed. Liberation has already started. And once that liberation starts, it means the Lord is going to make arrangements, is going to make different connections, different relationships, so that person, either now, later, next life, but definitely the Lord has agreed as a result of you chanting that holy name. He will enter into your life. He will give you the guidance that is necessary to associate with devotees and to ultimately through that association and through deity worship and through chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, ultimately to come back home, back to Godhead. So this super soul is very, very important. And there are a number of verses in our Bhagavad Gita in which the super soul is mentioned. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So, what does that mean? From me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Well, let us take it from one point. For example, we've come into this world and we don't know what we want to do with our life. We don't know how we want to utilize it. I know I have some talents, but what should I do? What happens is when we begin to question like this, the Lord in the heart knows all of our talents, knows all of our abilities. And from within, He gives us guidance. He gives us some direction. For example, let us say in your past life, you were an expert piano player. Or you were a great ballerina. Or you were some great actor. You've already trained. You already have all that ability. It's latent. It's dormant. It's not manifest. So the Lord gives you the knowledge and gives you a hunch, an intimation. Maybe I should go and get in this play. When I was a kid, I used to play, go in plays. Let me try to get in. So you get into this play and you do marvelous performance. And people say, have you been trained? I mean, no, it's the first time I'm doing it. And he becomes aware of the fact that he has an innate ability. I'm just amazed sometimes. I've seen on PBS 5- and 6-year-old children, they get in front of a piano and they play an entire concert. And they don't even see the no music in front of them. It's all memorized. Absolutely amazing. Some children at 3 and 4 years old, they'll look at a piano and it appears for the first time. They start to fiddle around with the keys and they begin to remember tunes they heard on the radio or on TV. And they pick them out perfectly, although they have never... How does that happen? The experience is already within. Krishna within gives us the direction and awakens from within that knowledge that we had long ago. And when it comes on the surface, you're simply remembering what you knew before. That's why certain people in a very short time in certain professions do very well very quickly. But we should never be envious of such persons. That person had to start from the beginning at some time 2 lives ago. 3 lives ago, 5 lives ago. But at some point he had to start and he had to keep practicing and practicing to come to some high standard. So Krishna within, he helps us to remember what we once did. And if we begin to do it, what happens is that these abilities are awakened, and quite often people enter those professions. I myself didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 19, 20 years old. And then I was in an English class, and they gave us an English assignment, you know, to write a play based upon your home situation. So I wrote this very, very heavy play with lots of arguments between a young man and his father, which was really me and my own father. The teacher, I normally just got B's. That was my normal B minus. And she gave me an A on it. And then she asked me to sit up in front of the room and read it to the class. And I got into this whole acting thing. And I saw people were responding. And then I decided, well, maybe I should write a play, enter it into a contest, and won a national contest for playwriting as a result. So I realized this is where I should be doing. What this is what I'm supposed to do. And continued to doing, entered another contest. So the main point is that Krishna from within makes different kinds of arrangements for us to bring out those abilities. Now, in the case of spiritual life, which is really what I'd like to focus on, is you'll find that some devotees who come here make very rapid, very fast progress. They understand these things quickly. And some of us may understand them a little slower. No one should feel envious. No one should feel crushed. No one should feel inferior. Krishna is in charge. Krishna is giving us what we deserve at a given moment. But we ourselves should also make the necessary and best possible effort to improve ourselves. Reading the books and showing respect to the spiritual master, respect to older devotees, and generally speaking, trying to remember many of these verses which give us guidance throughout our life. So the super soul is there to remind us, and it does remind us and helps us to become good at what we once were very good at. So you will find that certain aspects of our spiritual life are going to come much easier, and some are going to take a long time. But as I said, we should just accept ourselves as we are and not try to compare ourselves with other devotees. If you do that, then what happened? You may give up in despair and say, well, I'll never make it because this person came at the same time that I did. And look how far advanced he's giving classes already. And I'm just struggling with the first 3 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. So never have that sense of inferiority, that sense of worthlessness. Accept yourself and be delighted and be happy that you have the opportunity to pursue this Krishna consciousness, because Krishna will take you at your own speed. And going at the speed, that's where you are, that's where I'm at, and that's what I will do, and keep being thankful and grateful and happy that Krishna is helping me. If you have that attitude, you'll always make progress. You'll always move ahead. But if you always look at others, what they're doing, how they're progressing, and feel that you're worthless, you're useless, you're good, you never make any progress. And you may just give up completely and go back into material life. I can't tell you how many people I have seen return to the material world, stay in it for 20, 25 years, and then come back and say, I never should have left. I'm serious. Many people telling, I never should have. I was a fool, but I was just so envious of so many other devotees who were achieving things. So that's one. Another thing is that Krishna is making arrangements for all of us in different ways. Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart, and I'm directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. So Krishna is in the heart, and he's making arrangements for two things. First, we had unfulfilled desires in the past. So he is making arrangements so you can fulfill those desires in the present. Or he's making arrangements so that you will be qualified to fulfill those desires either in this lifetime or a future lifetime. But he is making those arrangements for you. So he will help you to fulfill your desires. He's also giving you your karmic reactions. You did so many nice things, good things, pleasurable things to other persons. And now it's time for you to reap the fruit. So he will give you all the pleasurable and pleasant things. Also, you may have done some bad things, some hostile things, some terrible things, some harmful things to persons. Then you start getting harm. Somebody punches you, somebody pushes you, somebody cheats you, somebody hoodwinks you, someone manipulates you, someone betrays you. And if you understand this philosophy, you know that you're getting what you deserve. What you gave out, you're getting it back. So the devotee thinks in his mind, okay, I'm getting what I gave. Let me not worry about it. But if you respond to it, if you react to it and say, what kind of a God is this who gives me so much pain? In other words, we just want pleasure, just happiness, just the senses should be stimulated. What kind of a devotee is that? So the devotee actually takes everything in stride. Okay, so I'm not... So he's giving me some pain and suffering. So I got the flu. So my knee is bothering me. So my shoulder or my neck. So this is what I deserve. I'll do the very best that I can to overcome it. And God in His good, by His ultimate wisdom or infinite wisdom, will relieve me of it in due course of time. And generally He does. Unless it's time for us to leave this world. So therefore the Lord is making the arrangements. Accept those arrangements. If they're untoward or unfavorable and they are going against what you're trying to achieve in God realization, then do the very best to overcome them. Krishna also gives us challenges. He gives us difficulties. He gives us tribulations. He gives us different tests, trials. So what we need to do is we need to pray to Krishna, beg Krishna, cry out to Krishna, please help me. I can't do it by myself. I don't have the strength. I don't have the intelligence. I need your guidance. I need some direction in order to overcome this. And Krishna will come very, very quickly if we cry and pray and beg Him with all our heart and soul. He's waiting to do so much for us. And He will do so much for us if we call upon Him and not try to be our own guru or be our own master or our own Lord. When we cry out like helpless children, Jesus Christ has said you have to be like unto these little children. Meaning that we need to be able to know that there are times when we are in need, when we can't do it by ourselves. We need to admit that. And when we admit that, and we call out for guidance and help, Super Soul, which is what this chapter is about, Super Soul in your heart will give you the guidance. How will that guidance come? It may come as a thought, which you think is your own thought, but it's really Super Soul. He's not letting himself be visible to us, because if Krishna just appeared right in front of us in a physical face-to-face form, we'd be walking around saying, hey, I saw Krishna today. I'm really great. Nobody sees Krishna. I'm seeing Krishna. So this is a very proud stance. So Krishna, from within, he gives us this guidance. Or he sends us to a book. Or he sends us to a devotee. But he gets the knowledge into our heads so that because we have petitioned him, we have begged him and cried out to him for help. He gives us the guidance. We follow the guidance and we get the result. A positive, helpful, beneficial result. The one that we need. And then we say what? Thank you, Krishna, for being so merciful, so helpful, so wonderful. I will tell others to do the same and share this with others so that they know you are ready, willing, and able to give help. So I'll end it on that note. Krishna is there. He's in within the heart. He's listening to us. For the devotee, he appears as Shyamasundara, two-armed Krishna. For the yogi or the jnani, he appears in a four-arm form. But for the devotee, he's listening. He wants to hear from you. It's like a father. You go away from home, and what did your parents say? Please, will you give us a call? Will you give me a call sometime? So Krishna is asking you, please, would you please call me? I want to hear from you. You're my child. You're my daughter. You're my son. Give me a call. I'm ready to do something. You need a little financial help? I'll help you. You need some buoying up in your spirits? I'll give you that. But bring me into your life. Let me participate in it. I want to be a participant. I want to be a part of your life. Please, bring me in. So when you bring it in, our life is totally and completely transformed because it becomes God-centered, God-realized. Hare Krishna. Jai. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes, Prabhuji. Why don't you start from the beginning, because people on the internet can now hear.
Thank you. How do you reconcile the statement of the Bhagavad Gita with the unsuccessful yogi who, like you said, has been trained up before and he's just continuing his spiritual path versus, say, an institution where somebody sees a young kid and thinks, well, you're a young kid, you don't know anything. I am older, looking from the physical, and think, well, you need more maturity before you can take responsibility or...
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So how do you reconcile those two? Because we see almost like a dichotomy. You see one point here, somebody has the ability from a previous life, our philosophy says so. But on another point, we see, well, you can do this because you're not old enough or you're...
et cetera, et cetera. Yes, and it all depends on the individual. One individual, just like you're mentioning the second case, he may not be ready to restart his spiritual life. In other words, he has certain other karmic actions and reactions to go through in order to come to a point whereby he's now ready to take the information, to get the information and utilize it, you see. So Krishna will set up a series of different individuals that come in. Now, for example, let us say this person needs to become more humble, more modest, sweeter. So to do that, he may put that person into some difficult, like you were saying, he's slammed down, he's not appreciated, he's not even considered as being important. So he's actually being made to feel very humble in his situation, even though he may think he knows a lot, but he's made to be humble. Finally, with that humility, then a spiritual master or spiritual devotees, they will come. And as you just mentioned earlier, where he was, where he left off, will again come back. But he's held back for a little while. Is that correct? So in other words, Krishna is in charge of the time, the timeline as to when you will restart your spiritual life according to the need and according to your need at that point in time. Okay, is that all right? Yes, Ganesh Prabhu.
On behalf of the listeners on the internet, there's 108 listeners currently at this moment. And they've been glorifying your preaching throughout your life over and over and over and
over. Do I have to hear this?
So they wanted me to tell you, Ganesh Prabhu, tell Amala Bhakta Prabhu how much we's appreciated. So on behalf of all the listeners on the internet, which outdoes the audience, thank you so much, Prabhu.
Well, all of those of you who have taken the time and the trouble and the interest to write those little comments there, I do sometimes see them. And I want to thank you all very, very much for your kindness, for your graciousness, for your appreciation, your gratitude. And I pray that whatever good things you have said about me should all come to you and should come to you in greater and greater degree. May you all be blissful, peaceful, and strong within, and be perfect, perfect servants of Krishna. That's my wish, and I pray for your prayers that I may also achieve the same. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Or Hare Krishna. Glory to Srila Prabhupada ki jai.